I am Femi Oke. You're watching the stream. Saturday was the anniversary, the seventh anniversary of the civil war in Yemen beginning. The biggest casualties have been civilians and also a lasting peace process. Today we're going to look at the desperate need for humanitarian aid, especially as a lot of focus right now in the world is on Ukraine, the war there, and the impact of the war on Ukraine means that there's less available resources for the people of Yemen. I want to start with Abdu Yahya. He has been displaced in Yemen, in his own country, and he talks about how he manages to survive with very little aid. Have a listen, have a look.
They don't give us aid or anything of the sort. Last year, they gave us a little bit of rice and a little bit of wheat and one canister of oil, then we never saw them again. Thank God, we survive with the help of our son, who collects empty plastic bottles and metal cans and sells them. And we survive on the kindness of the people who come here and give us donations. Thank God for everything. We are exhausted, but this is our fate, and we will have faith in God.
Some of the images that you will see during the next 25 minutes will be really hard to watch, but I want you to stay with this program. This is such an important topic. I'm going to say hello to David, to Samar, to Abir. Thank you for being part of our program today. David, please introduce yourself. You're really well known as far as the Yemen conflict is concerned, but for our international audience, please let them know who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you. I am David Gressa, I'm the humanitarian coordinator for the United Nations, but also for the broader humanitarian community in Yemen. Thank you.
Good to have you. Hello, Samar. Please remind our audience who you are. Good to have you back on the stream.
Thank you, Femi. I'm Samal Hamdani. I'm a senior country expert at Hellas Systems, and I'm a Yemen political analyst. I've been working on Yemen for 12 years, and I've been providing analysis on the conflict since its inception.
I appreciate your insight today. And Abir, welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me. I'm Abir Etafa, senior spokeswoman with the United Nations World Food Program. Have been going in and out of Yemen since 2006 and since I joined the United Nations.
All right, so those are our guests. Would you like to talk to them? What would you like to ask them? If you're on YouTube right now, you can do so. The YouTube comment section is live. Put your comment, your question here and be part of today's program. Let me set the scene for where we are. I told you today that we're talking about the humanitarian crisis in Yemen. How big is that crisis? Let's take a look. The number of people right now relying on humanitarian aid, most of the population, 80% of people right now in Yemen are looking for humanitarian assistance. The number of people facing food insecurity, which means that often they're going to bed hungry, they don't have enough to eat, 17.4 million. And then finally, the number of children who are acutely malnourished. We're looking over 2 million people there. David, well, you know these figures. You're very aware of what is happening. If you could suggest to the world what they need to do, what we need to do as an international community, how do you solve that issue of humanitarian aid?
Well, there's three major problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to start with the conflict itself, which is the proximate cause for all the suffering that we see there, not only the direct impact of the war, but the indirect, which has destroyed the economy. Most people have lost their jobs, their livelihoods, and their means to purchase food and essential commodities. We see a steady decline in the economy over the last 7 years. I see it on the ground everywhere I travel. I've traveled almost to every government now in the country, and the suffering is there everywhere. So the first order of business is to solve the political and, you know, the conflict crisis. They need peace. Secondly, rebuild the economy, and you will solve the humanitarian problem. But until those two things are done, the humanitarian situation will continue and continue, more importantly, to deteriorate. Every year we see more people in need, whether for food, water, shelter. You saw the Yahya speaking earlier. Mm-hmm. I've had so many conversations with men and women, mothers in particular, who describe what they face day to day to help their families survive. It's not easy to witness this. And it's even more difficult when we don't have the full means to address the humanitarian situation on the ground. WFP, which will be speaking here in a moment, will explain more detail, but they've run out of funding. And the number of people that they can feed is declining rapidly. from a peak of 11.5 million people, maybe down to 2 million people. And the scene that you just saw earlier with Yahya will be repeated in many places throughout Yemen in the months to come if assistance doesn't come. The last thing I'll say in this introduction is the response globally was not very good for the last pledging conference. We only got 1.3 out of over $4 billion that we had asked for to meet the full needs. That's only a third. So many donors who contributed last year gave generously again this year. Others didn't contribute at all. And I think it's extremely important that those that have yet to contribute come forward now and put the funding so that we don't see these scenes not only repeat, but get worse in the months to come. Thank you.
Abia,
well, if I can come in.
Please go ahead, Abia.
So I think Yemen is one of the worst food crises in the world. We're talking here about nearly two-thirds of the population who are food insecure and hungry. As we speak, 17.5 million people are food insecure, and they don't know where their next meal is coming from. Before the end of the year, it's going to be close to 19, 20 million. That's two-thirds of the population. And I think it's one of the few countries in the world and some of the, you know, one of the worst hunger crises where you have to, you know, feed an entire population. So, and the situation is not likely to get better. We're seeing now Ukraine and the impact of that on the, you know, it's another blow to Yemen, driving food and fuel prices further up. Yemen depends entirely on food imports, with 31% of its wheat coming from Ukraine over the past 3 months. So basically, we are going to see even the situation getting worse. And with this, as David mentioned, the funding crisis that we have, the lack of support. I mean, we've had the support from the international community, but this has been, you know, going for 7 years, and we're seeing donor fatigue. We're seeing shortages in funding, and before the end of the year, we will see possible reduction in the number of people receiving assistance. Since the beginning of this year, we had to reduce the size of the food rations that we're distributing to 8 million people to half. That's really, you know, and it's already a very limited food basket because of funding. So we're going to see a very big impact this year on the food security situation inside Yemen. I think Ukraine is adding a lot of stress to the humanitarian community. And if with the increase in fuel prices, the economy, everything is pushing millions of people towards severe hunger.
I'm just going to bring in Borar Shaban, who spoke to us a little bit earlier. He's a human rights researcher. I'm going to put this video comment to you, Samar, because I'd like you to build off it, because Borar is talking about the number of militias that are in Yemen, making getting to civilians so much more difficult than it used to be. Have a listen, have a look.
The humanitarian crisis in Yemen is not the problem by itself. It is the consequence of the collapse of the state institutions. So if the international community are serious about helping Yemenis, they should help them by building a framework that would reinstate the country's institutions and prevent the over-militancy, the militia rule that replaced the state institutions and the local authorities. It started by the Houthis in 2014, and now there are many militias across all provinces across the country.
Yeah, of course, everything that Barat said is accurate. And of course, as the other speakers have alluded, specifically Mr. Risley, he mentioned that there's a political issue and an economic issue to solve before we can actually go in and solve the humanitarian crisis. Because as far as the humanitarian crisis goes, it's so severe, it's so detrimental, but all you can do is provide people with a lifeline. When it comes to the political situation, tomorrow in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, there is a Yemeni conference that's supposed to take place, and it's building on efforts that the UN envoy was doing in Amman, where he was also meeting with Yemeni political figures and people who had to do with the conflict there. And it sounds like there is a lot of momentum happening politically. So outside of the escalation of the conflict that we're witnessing in the past week, we know that the Western community and the international aid community is finally aligned. Everybody's now talking about the economic recovery of Yemen. 2 years ago, that wasn't the focus. That is now an essential focus of what's happening. And unfortunately, at the same time, while the international community and the world is ready to see peace in Yemen, and while Yemenis inside of Yemen are most desperately in need of peace and have been asking for it for years, what we see is an escalation of conflict. So also in this past week, there were attacks that the Houthi militia has launched into Saudi Arabia. And we saw a huge effect in Jeddah, where we saw fire burning. Of course, before that, the Houthis were able to also send attacks into the United Arab Emirates, to Abu Dhabi. And it seems like what they're saying is that this war will keep going. Interestingly enough, 3 days ago, the Ansar Allah, or the Houthi militia, had mentioned that they are going to have a unilateral ceasefire for 3 days that expires tomorrow, just as the peace talks begin in Saudi Arabia. What's interesting, though, is we don't know so far if in these Yemeni talks, we don't know if the Houthis are going to participate in it officially. We've already seen Sweden's foreign minister attend this morning. Saudi Arabia's foreign minister had a call with the United States So the Saudi foreign minister also had calls with governmental figures from the U.S. and with Blinken specifically. And so it seems like they're building momentum now to have the GCC sponsor some sort of a ceasefire in Yemen. So the hopes are to announce a ceasefire during the month of Ramadan. That was the plan. However, the escalation of conflict continues to signal that we're shifting away from there. And so
Can I just add something? Because you said you were shifting away from the idea of a ceasefire, even as we're approaching Ramadan, which is just a few days away. I want to show our audience this so that they are reminded. If they don't see it every day, they're reminded of what is happening. So this is a police officer talking about an attack that happened on civilians. And I believe about 7 people died in this attack. This was on Saturday when there was supposed to be a ceasefire. Let's have a listen. Let's have a look.
At 3:30 in the morning, the first missile hit that house, and the residents were all martyred. Only the head of the family, who was not present, and an 8-year-old child survived. A 5-month-old boy is missing. He must have been burned or blown up.
So this is in Sana'a. So just a few days ago. So if there is any kind of ceasefire or peace process, it is not happening for the civilians down on the ground. Samar, just finish up here. This makes it incredibly difficult to do anything. Let me show you one more thing here on Twitter. We asked our audience, how can people in Yemen be helped? I'm going to scroll down here. This is what Baba Shehu says. More funding from donor agencies. How does more funding from donor agencies stop civilians from being attacked?
More funding from donor agencies does not stop civilians from being attacked. And as a matter of fact, now we're starting the 8th year of conflict in Yemen. And Yemen has had funds coming in, and the largest operations of humanitarian aid are now taking place in Yemen. And nobody's really talking about the corruption that happens around the aid distribution in Yemen. But again, whether the aid is going in or not, it doesn't stop airstrikes from coming in into Yemen or airstrikes from going outside of Yemen. And so the only way to settle this is to come to the negotiating table and for the political parties to come to an agreement on a ceasefire and to come to an agreement onto what the next few years will look like. Even if there's a ceasefire today in Yemen, the humanitarian situation and people in Yemen are going to continue to suffer. And that's potentially where the role of aid can come in to kind of help elevate what's happening there. But when you have a whole country in a standstill with, you know, increasing gas prices, a collapsed healthcare system. And the reason Yemen is not mentioned everywhere is because a lot of the Yemenis are trapped inside of Yemen. You don't see photos of Yemeni refugees anywhere, because a lot of them are actually inside of there. And so for Yemen, the first step is really to come to a political deal first, and then to look at how to resolve all the other issues that they've had to face in the past.
You know, we live this in Sana'a. We live this in Sana'a. That missile that you just showed landed 30 meters from my apartment and blew out all the windows in my own apartment in Sana'a. This is real. And as long as the airstrikes continue, it's terrifying to the population. They don't know who's next, what collateral damage there could be that would affect them directly. So what needs to happen on the ground, it's pretty clear. The offensive operations have to stop, including in Marib. There has to be opening of the port of Hodeida to let fuel, cooking gas, essential supplies in. The airport needs to open, and needs to be a cessation of hostilities, and the parties just have to agree to this if we're going to find a way forward to give everybody at least breathing space to start rebuilding their lives. In the absence of that, this conflict will slowly destroy Yemen. As you go into year 8, year 9, year 10 in this conflict, every year we see it worse. The institutions are falling apart. Public civil servants are not being paid. They're drifting away. The human capital that held Yemen together is disappearing in front of our eyes. I think the number of the lost economic growth in the country is $126 billion, which makes the food assistance look minuscule. Solve the political problem. Solve the security problem. Get a ceasefire in place, a truce in place. And now there's some discussion you can hear, and I agree there is some momentum going on here, but it's coming at a very high price, and that price is being paid every day. So it's extremely important that compromises be reached now if you're going to spare the population from continued terror from the fighting, as well as deprivation of their families from access to basic food and other commodities. It really is now the time to act and for everybody to come together on this.
Well, Yemen is also is really a part of a ring of fire that's circling the globe, where millions of people are on the brink of starvation. Conflict is the main driver of hunger and food insecurity in this country. I mean, there is a very strong correlation between hunger and food insecurity and conflict. So conflict leads to hunger, and, you know, in return also, hunger leads to food to conflict. And we're seeing this in Yemen. This country had reached some level of food security a few years before the conflict, and we're seeing it now being pushed to the limit. The only solution to the the severe hunger and this crisis in Yemen is actually to have a peace, a real long-lasting peace, and then a major investment in the development of this country to stand on its feet. The country is experiencing one of the worst. This is one of the worst humanitarian crises, just because of the continuing conflict in the country.
Abia, it's really unusual when you have a discussion and everybody is literally on the same page here. The conflict has to stop for the people to be able to eat and live and go about their daily lives on the ground. This is Bashir Omar. He's a spokesperson for the International Committee of the Red Cross. This is what he told us earlier.
Yemeni people need the attention of the international community to find an answer for this conflict. If this conflict prolongs for more than 10 years, then there will be irreversible consequences. If this conflict prolongs for 10 years, then we will be having what we call lost generation, illiterate generation, and there will be damages that the whole world will not be able to fix.
I have questions for you, guests, from our audience. I'm going to share these around with you. If you can do prompt and efficient answers, we can get through as many as we can. This is a good question here from PA. I'm going to put this one to you, Abir. Is there a lot of corruption, or is the humanitarian aid really getting to the people? That can sometimes be an issue in a conflict situation, Abir.
Food assistance is getting to the people, but with an operation of that size, there will be some gaps. But when we look at it, it is food is getting and the assistance is getting to everyone who needs it, and it's getting mainly to the most vulnerable. Not everyone, I mean, the needs are much more than the resources. So for sure, some families will be left out. The focus is on the 13 million who are severely food insecure, 5 million are on the brink of starvation. The other 8 million who are in the assessments at emergency food levels, these are also getting assistance, not at the same level at the 5 million. So when you look at this, at the needs, like 17 million, and we're only assisting, barely assisting 13 million, some people will be left out.
Okay. This one I'm going to put to you, David, on YouTube from Ayochor. Why are the powerful nations in the world wasting huge resources for ammunition but pay less attention to humanitarian aid? There's so much more in the world, but peace is what humans need. That is Ayochor's perspective. How would you respond, David?
Well, I think that's a problem we see in many, many places. The difficulty of parties in conflict is building the trust so that they can actually find a way to resolve it. It's not easy when you're fighting. And the desire to win, of course, trumps in many cases the desire to provide the kind of support that we need here. So I think just to summarize, what we need are three approaches here. One is full funding of the humanitarian response. We need that $4 billion to keep everybody going in a dignified way. Number two, address the economic problems that are holding everything back from the restrictions on entry of essential goods to restrictions on business, economy, and so forth. People need jobs, and they need decent prices if they're going to recover from this. And fundamentally, find a solution to the peace. Get some sort of a truce or a ceasefire in place to at least put a pause on this so people can start rebuilding their lives while people talk about a political solution. All right. Absent those three things, this situation will continue.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to put this one to you, Samar. Very simple, from Leviathan on YouTube. Why do you think this war has received less attention from Western media?
I mentioned before that I think that the Yemen conflict is not covered in Western media as much as other conflicts. I think also the fact that many countries that are involved in trying to resolve and fix the conflict are also contributing to the conflict. I think this also is part of the question that was asked right before this one. I think when it comes to the will to peace in Yemen, the Yemeni people are not seen as humans. They're not treated as such. If you think of a place where people have endured 7 years of airstrike, it's very difficult to think of that kind of modern warfare taking place today. I think when it comes down to it, we have to think of what's happening in the region between the Saudi-Iranian proxy war and how Yemen and the Yemeni people had, you know, they had to pay the direct price of that conflict. And they will continue to do so. Now, the international community is more ready for peace. Saudi Arabia is signaling that they are ready for serious peace. And so at this point, all we can say at the end of the conversation is that the Yemeni parties that are involved in the ground, that are, you know, fighting day in, day out, they have to be also looking into this conflict, and all the parties engaged in the conflict have to be held responsible for what they do in the conflict. I think having accountability and the lack of having accountability conversations is the reason why the war continues this way.
Abir, I just have literally a line left for you. I'm just wondering what the toll of the Ukraine war is having. You mentioned it earlier on what is happening in Yemen for civilians. Just in a sentence, so that we are able, are we able to concentrate on more than one conflict at a time, Abir? Just wrap us up briefly. Thank you.
The Ukraine conflict has, you know, two sides to it. First of all, the crisis inside Ukraine, the fact that donors, of course, are supporting, and this is a crisis happening inside Europe, so there is a lot of support that will go to inside Ukraine and to the refugee crisis. Mm-hmm. But also the other side is that Ukraine was producing food enough for 400 million people. So many countries in the Middle East and North Africa, including Yemen, okay, are dependent on imports from Ukraine. Increasing food prices will push many people in the circle of hunger.
Thank
you, Abir. Just for the World Program operations, it adds $10 million to the cost of our operation in Yemen with the increasing food prices from Ukraine.
Thank you for that important context, Abir, Samar, David. We really appreciate you. I'm going to end here on my laptop. Let me show you. This is how we're going to go out. Some of the many, many, many discussions we have had about Yemen over the years. Why is the world's worst humanitarian crisis ignored? And so on. We will continue to cover the story. Thanks for watching.